about spiritual desires. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, Paul says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." We're going to quote extensively this morning from that more excellent way that the Lord has given us. We think about desire, and we recognize that that means an earnest wishing for something. Craving that thing. Yearning to have a part in that that's set forth. We recognize that as we think about that yearning, that desire, that it calls upon us to desire to pray to the Father in heaven. It desires of us an object earnestly sought or longed for. And that's Jesus Christ and His example to us and showing us God the Father, that we might know what pleases Him. There are two classes of desire. Ephesians 2 and verse 3, it says, "Among whom," and that "whom" that is talking about there is the Spirit that worketh in those that are disobedient unto God. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So that's one class that we have, is those that are not believers, those that have not yet accepted God and His will and His way. This then would have to be fleshly desires, or led by fleshly desire. Some desires of the flesh are right and necessary. We might illustrate this by looking at food. We need food to sustain our body, drink to quench our thirst, and we all desire health and preservation of the body. When fleshly desires become inordinate and lustful, they're evil and unlawful. And we need to try to overcome those fleshly desires. We need to show when they become evil and illustrate what that means. They can become evil by a desire for food in excess, drink in excess and of the wrong kind of things, and gain, as far as our life is concerned, that we might have riches rather than those things of the Spirit and after Christ's example. He talked about His life as He was here. He said the birds of the air have nests, and the animals have holes that they live in, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay His head. He didn't put a lot of stock in those things that satisfied the flesh. We have warnings against fleshly lust. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6, he's talking there about children that were overthrown in the wilderness. God's delivering them from Egyptian bondage, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. And he talked about that and those children in the wilderness. As we look at that and think about that, he says, now, these were our examples. These that were overthrown in the wilderness, there are examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So they lusted after evil things and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And then verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So he sets forth some things that can be derogatory as far as our pursuit of the Spirit and living after the Spirit is concerned. He says that we need to put off these things and exercise our spiritual desire to please God. Or he said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He's telling us how to exercise a pure heart, a heart that is acceptable in the sight of God, a heart that's being led by the Spirit of God. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, for the time will come, he said, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Going to come a time when people don't want to listen to the truth of the will of God. They no longer have desire to do those things that are right. But their desire leads them to do those things continuously that's wrong. In Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And James 1:14 tells us something about man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Lust is very real in leading us away from the will of God and the things of God. James went on to say in James 4, verses 1 through 3, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that wars in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. And then he says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. Lust plays a big part then, leading us away from God and into those things that are not helpful to us But if we insist on staying in these things, we'll destroy us. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Great war taking place for the soul. That which is wrong is insisting on having a place in our life. He says we must abstain from this spiritual lust or fleshly lust. Spiritual desires are desires for holy things is the thing we ought to seek. That is the things of God. Psalms 42 and verse 11. We find that David is looking at his life and his heart. And he asks the question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the help of my countenance and my God." Do what? Hope in God, for I shall praise Him. And then he tells about the help of our soul, who is the help of my countenance and my God. I want us to broaden out just a little bit more on that in Psalms 51, verses 7 through 13. We find the scripture saying, as he's talking, as David's talking to God, and he's asking God for pardon of those things that he's committed in life. And he gives us actually a way of overcoming those things. He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be coveted are converted unto thee." Now, when is he going to teach sinners? After his own heart has been cleansed. After he can put confidence in the ways that he's walking and the ways that he's living, then he can be assured that God's guiding him in the way that he ought to go. The motive to have a desire of the Spirit is power to live and walk with God. We're controlled by desire. We'll do what we desire to do. I said that to a man that attends this congregation. It's been probably 50 years ago. we were talking about these things, and I told him that a man could do anything that he desired to do. He was considering obeying the Lord at that time. That stuck with him all of these years. He obeyed the gospel. He's been very obedient and active in the kingdom of the Lord ever since that time. He asked me not long after I came back to Rockford this time, "Do you remember telling me that I could do anything I desired to do if I desired it strong enough?" And I remembered that, yes. We can do what we desire to do. But there's a clash in desires today, in our desire. In Galatians 5 and verse 17, Paul said, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." You see the clash? Those things of the Spirit are at war against the things of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. If we give in to the desires of the flesh, it's because we allow that to overcome us in our desire, and we desire to do that more than we desire to do the will of God. Many times, strange desires prevail when we question God's revealed will. Then they're sure to prevail. When the kind of desires determine the life that we live, we desire to do those things of the flesh rather than do those things that God told us to do. My hope this morning is that we will desire the life of the Spirit. In other words, to walk by the Spirit of God. We have some desires revealed in the Bible that we need to cherish. First of all, we need to cherish the desire that we have to please God. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, "Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." How many of you here this morning desire to be saved? That's a good desire. To desire to be saved. How many of you here this morning desire to pray to God daily about your life? In Mark 11 and verse 24, "Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Believe in the things that you pray for. And if you really believe in these things, He says, you'll have them. Desire spiritual food. Feed upon it each day. First Peter 2 and verse 3, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." When I read that passage of Scripture, I think about poor old Job and all the suffering that he did. and how gracious the Lord was to him after that was finished. After he endured the suffering, after he adopted the attitude that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And certainly we see that he was blessed immensely after those things were over. We must desire to know and love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now why were they not saved? Because they refused to receive the love of the truth and obey the truth. In Proverbs 2, verses 3 through 5, yea, if thou criest often or after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice from understanding, if thou seekest her and as silver, and searchest for her as of hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge and understanding. We have to seek it as a hidden treasure. We're looking for it. We're wanting to apply that to our life. And that's the reason Jesus said in John 8 and verse 31, then said Jesus to these Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you do what? If you continue in my word. And what does it mean to be his disciples? He went on to say in John 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then again in John 7 and verse 17, if any man will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. We must seek to be filled with righteousness. Matthew 5 and verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then Isaiah talks about the grace of God, the goodness of God. Isaiah 65, verses 13 and 14, he said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of the spirit. Don't you think it would be wonderful to be servants of the Lord? And Luke said, in Luke 13:28-30, recording there the words of Jesus there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself are thrust out, they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. I want to be in there with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, don't you? So my hope this morning is that we all want to live so that we will be chosen as children of God.